Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to be with me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled Filled with New Wine. And I'd like to begin by sharing just a few verses in the first chapter of Acts, and these were specific instructions that the Lord gave to His disciples. And verse 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me." He promised that the promise of the Father, He was talking about the Holy Spirit, was going to come. And in verse 5, He elaborates by saying, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." This is known as the Great Commission. This is what He spoke to His disciples, and those commands that word of the Lord that He spoke has not been rescinded. It applies to disciples of every age, of every era. It applies to us today. And so, as we began this message, we looked at the wedding at Cana, and I suggested it was very different, completely different, actually, from every other work that He performed. There was no raising of the dead or healing the sick or a tremendous miracle to bring deliverance to the captive, but He turned the water into wine. And I am making a suggestion as I meditated upon this miracle that is a prophetic demonstration of what God is doing right now in this hour. And I would suggest to you that wine in Scripture is symbolic of joy, of blessing, of sound teaching, as well as the Holy Spirit. Let me share a few scriptures that relate to this, referencing wine. And I'd like to begin by sharing Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. "He causeth the grass to grow for cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." And then in the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 18, and this speaks of the restoration of Judah, and of course to the church as well. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk." This is obviously speaking of a spiritual work that God is going to be doing. You know, it's not talking literally new wine and the hills aren't flowing with milk. It's speaking of a spiritual analogy. And it goes on to say, "And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim." And then there's another passage that I want to share in Amos, the 9th chapter. And again, this refers to the ultimate restoration of the Davidic kingdom, but it also speaks to that spiritual work. There is a true literal restoration of the king of the messianic kingdom where David will rule, and yet there is also in this hour among the corporate body of Christ a restoration to the authority, to the anointing, to that glorious church that was in the heart of God. He declared it. And in Amos, the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 13, The prophet declares, "In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old." And of course, if you're familiar with the history of David, one of the things that he did as he was shortly anointed king over all of Israel, not just Judah, but over all of Israel, he brought the Ark of God, the very literal presence of God, into a tabernacle that he had erected. And there was round-the-clock worship of the living God. He loved God, and he did something extraordinary. Again, that's a prophetic declaration. What was he doing? According to the Mosaic law, only the high priest could go once a year on the Day of Atonement, and he took the very Ark of God. He had sort of difficulties the very first time because they didn't consult the law. They had it on an ox cart, and Uzzah died by touching the Ark. Yet when they did it the proper way, carried on staves on the shoulders of the priests, the tabernacle of David was set up, and there was round-the-clock worship. And so what is Amos saying? He says, in the last days, I'm going to raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen. In other words, there is going to be restoration of worship and praise to the church. Jesus declared it. He spoke to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He said, the day is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. But Amos goes on to say, why is God doing that? That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop or drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt or flow with it. So, beloved, what do we see here? God is going to do a quick work, and I believe that is what he is doing in these days. He is raising up his people. He is causing the Spirit of the Lord to be poured out on all flesh. At that great conference or meeting in Jerusalem, as recorded in the 15th chapter of Acts, James stands up in verse 17. And when Paul was sharing all the tremendous things that the Lord had done among the Gentiles, and they were coming to come to a unanimity, to a one accord as to what God was requiring of the Gentiles, James references this passage in Amos, and he declares the reason God is doing this. He says that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And so God is raising up a spiritual priesthood, if you will. He is raising up his body, those who are going to be filled with the Spirit, filled with new wine, and they are going to be God's body, his mouthpiece, his hands and feet in this earth, to speak forth the words of salvation, the good news of the gospel, to whomever has ears to hear. I would say to you, beloved, that we must have the Holy Spirit in his fullness in order to do the works that Jesus did. He said, even greater works than these will you do. Well, let's move on now to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And what does it say in verses 1 through 4? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Beloved, I want to declare to you, can you imagine what it must have been like to be in that upper room? What a heavenly, dramatic demonstration where the Spirit of God comes down to fill believers. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit came upon the prophet, the priest, and the king for a specific purpose, for a specific time. Oh, just pretend if you could have been there at that time. God is a consummate showman. He knows how to do it right. Hallelujah. I mean, there was a wind and there was fire. Remember John the Baptist? He said, he who comes after me will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And what, you know, when Peter stands up and they are filled with the Spirit and they were speaking in new tongues, he says, these men are not drunken as you suppose. They weren't drunk on wine, but they were filled with the new wine of the Spirit. Remember, they had just gone through the worst time of their lives. They were hoping to see the Jewish kingdom restored, and everything was destroyed. Jesus was killed. However, their mourning was returned to rejoicing because Jesus appeared to them for 40 days, seen at one point by over 500 people at one time, and their hearts were rejoicing, and they were reminded, they had the Holy Spirit, they could understand that what had been prophesied in the Word of God was fulfilled, and we see them filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, that is what God wants for us today. In Acts, the 8th chapter, those who were filled with the Spirit, and there were 120 of them, it doesn't list how many, but in that 8th chapter, it says that in verses 12 and 15, that Philip had gone to Samaria and he had preached, and there was revival there. There were signs and wonders, and they were being baptized. But it says, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously, if there was salvation, the believers had received, just like everyone who believes on the Lord, received the Holy Ghost, but they sent Peter and John, that hands could be laid on them to receive the fullness of the impartation of the Spirit of God, even as the 120 had received on the day of Pentecost. Well, I'm going to share some other passages with you tomorrow, but I want to make you realize that the Holy Spirit is available to every single believer in His fullness with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Beloved, this is what God has for His people. And I must bring this broadcast to a close. I'm so thrilled and excited that God is raising up His people today. I invite you to share and write whatever prayer needs you may have. We will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for your prayer support, your financial gifts. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.